Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are. I was just processing as we were kind of flowing, praying, worshiping, and, you know, going with what we felt was right in that moment kind of thing. It's like, yeah, something happens when we come together that's bigger than just ourselves, right? Like, you have your walk with God, I have my walk with God, but when you and I and next person and the next person, when we come together where two or three are gathered, there's something different about that. There's something about the atmosphere of faith, the atmosphere of His presence, the atmosphere of love, peace, joy, all the good qualities of God, right? And it's like, again, wanting to appreciate, oh yeah, when we gather, you know, I think it's the book of Hebrews that says, do not give up meeting together. It doesn't say how or where or what meetings look like. It just says, just don't give up doing that. Just keep coming together. And I remember, I think it was Caroline, she had a revelation a month ago or something. Don't give up meeting together. And, you know, and I remember maybe a few conversations where people maybe struggled with the way we meet as church, sometimes here, sometimes in home, sometimes also last year we were in parks and things like that. And I was like, oh, but church is this. And it's like, well, let's surrender that and let's just not give up meeting together, wherever that is. But today is not so much about those practicalities. We'll come a little bit to that in a couple of weeks. Today is more, and I'm just thinking, do I want to bring this message or do I not? Today is about surrender to Him. And there's particular ways I believe God wants us to look at that with certain stories in the Bible. And I want to just share a couple of pictures, or two or three maybe, that people have given us, some from this context, some from outside, people we trust that were just praying for us. I can just see God doing this at the moment. We're like, if you knew, if you knew what was going on, well, you seem to know something, or God seems to be saying something. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's encouraging to hear someone who doesn't know the details, but just I just feel like God might be saying this. And you're like, oh yeah, that connects. And I think it has to do with us just, to use that phrase, putting our lives on the altar. Some of the things I'm saying this morning, I'm saying to us in the room. Some of them I'm just speaking out by faith and in the spirit, prayerfully and sort of prophetically, but just declaring of who we are as a people and what God is doing. And if we want to move forward spiritually, that's something we just need to do. Like, I don't see it with my physical eyes, but I can see it in my heart, and I can see that's what God is saying. And I'm going to move by faith, not by sight. Amen. But you can apply those things in your own life too. But here's some of the things we believe God is saying. We believe that there's a phrase that you've probably heard many times, but and it's not exactly in the Bible like that, but you get the idea. It says, if we want to go further, we need to go deeper first. So we want to go deeper to go further. And that sounds all nice until the rubber hits the road. We've used that phrase and we've laughed a lot recently about, oh yeah, that sounds nice. And we talked about things, but when it came to it, when the rubber hit the road, we're like, wait, what did we talk about? We need to pray about this. And I'm like, darling, we've prayed for weeks. It's like, no, but what are we actually going to, it's like, no. And this is also things like hanging up pictures in the house. It's not just spiritual things, but it's when the rubber hits the road, we're like, oh, wait, what's going on again? I'm like, but we've talked about this for months. And I think sometimes God is like that in the Bible. He says things. And then when it happens, people like, wait, that's not what I thought. You know, when Jesus first came, the Jewish people thought, no, surely you're going to overthrow the Romans and you're going to just come down and bomb, you know, that's what we want. That's what we want you to do. And God's like, yeah, that bit's coming. But the bit before is, I'm the humble suffering servant that is born as a baby. You know, we know that story. So, but it's that thing of expectation. God, I thought, God, you said this. And yeah, but actually there's a journey. I will come and every knee will bow, right? We know that bit's coming, but that wasn't 2,000 years ago. What he did 2,000 years ago, it was to come, and he did everything he did on the cross, which we obviously recognize later with communion. But what he did, he was, in a good way, he was putting a, healthy virus into the earth, which is called the kingdom of God with the Holy Spirit. He was putting kingdom principle, kingdom DNA, and says, I want that world not just to be transformed from the outside in, but from the inside out. So he calls you and me to be followers of him, to live in a certain way, to be transformed from the inside out, not just that we have better lives or different lives, but then the society changes around us because he injects flavor or yeast in the dough or seed in the ground. All those pictures are transformation from the inside out, from the inside out, and often starts with just a few. I was struck by this phrase, and that it's somewhere, I don't have the scripture now, but you all know it, where it says when Jesus walked around, he just called people, come follow me, come follow me. And then it keeps saying they left everything behind to follow him. You know, they left whatever it was, boats, family, land, futures they had planned, whatever. They have left everything behind. And I think I've been processing again, and you know, I guess you go through seasons, don't you, when you walk with guys, like, oh yeah, I've surrendered. And then you go through life and it's good. And then God just says, okay, come close again. I just want to draw your attention to this. And that's that phrase. Just let that sink into your heart, maybe. They've left everything behind to follow Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be someone who says, and I know that's easier said than done, I don't want to be someone that says, yeah, Jesus, I really follow you, but this part I do like. I just want to keep that bit. But yeah, you can have all the rest of my life. You can have all that. But to trust you with this, no, I know how to do that, Lord. It's fine. I pray about the other things, not this. And actually, I feel like, you know, with the going deeper to go further, I think there are some things for us, maybe in our hearts, maybe we are aware of, maybe we aren't, where God's actually saying, no, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that thing you were trying to hide, or that thing you're not so impressed by, or the thing you don't want anyone else to know. Someone gave us a picture. Here's one of the pictures. I'll give you a picture. Someone was praying for us, someone we really respect in terms of his walk with God. And for us as a congregation, he was praying. And he just said, I just have this picture of a tree, but the tree was growing deep, so in terms of roots, and it was growing high before it was going wide. Just let that sink in. So it was going deep first and high before it was going wide. So we all like the wide. We like the, well, I don't know. I like it. I like the, you know, it's bombastic. There's people there. There's a buzz. There's crowds. It's good. And I love that. And I need to be careful in my heart. I'm disappointed if I don't see it. That's my walk with God. But actually, what I felt like God was saying through that person, and he explained it a bit further. He said, no, it's the roots first. Are the roots healthy? So something we've been praying for months now, but we keep praying. It's good. God, cleanse our roots. Let our roots be healthy. And you know, if disease is in a tree, they might not be straight away all over the tree, but if there's something on the roots that you allow to take root, so to speak, that's not healthy. So actually what then God wants to do, we believe, and I think he is doing, is and it can be challenging, those things, but to challenge some of the things we may think, oh, that's fine. No, that's okay. You know, it maybe compromises a little bit the standard of the word, but it's okay. It's actually God's like, oh, come on. Like, I know it's a bit uncomfortable. Let's go there. Let's go deep. And I know with some of you, we're going through the Freedom course, and it, you know, tackles different topics every week. And we talked about reading the Bible last week. And I said to the guys, I thought, oh yeah, that's an easy one. You know, it's just the Bible. Actually, it was one of the most challenging ones because it actually made us think, well, am I actually having a desire to know God? You know, all of those things. But I don't want to go into all the details, but it's the roots, the depth, the secret place where no one else maybe sees. Something else we've been praying is that, God, would you just take all the masks off, wherever we're putting up, or any of us putting up a, you know, this is good. Look, you know, this is great. But actually behind it is pain or hurt. Doesn't always mean, you know, someone's pretending, but it could be that. But also just hiding things, maybe being afraid that someone, or if people would know that, that's a classic freedom thing, you know. Oh, if people would only know that about me, they wouldn't love me. Well, that's not true. We had it this morning. You know, we want to be family. And I know Andrea's really journeying with that. When Jesus says, love one another, what does that even mean? This is crazy. And he says, don't just love those who love you back. Love those who hurt you and who speak bad about you. And love those who, come on, bring that on, Lord. That's the word. But he brings the word alive by his spirit, right? But it's those things in the root. So, Lord Jesus, we welcome you to work in the depth. Amen. And then it grows in height. it grows in maturity, it grows in stature. A word that came with it was an authority that comes through, obviously, humility. But God wants to work under the surface of our lives, in the hidden. And God is interested in our hearts, not just the version we like to portray. But we need to be willing. Now, we know the scripture says he transforms us into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And he's like, yes, thank you, Lord. You just do that. Just get on with that, Lord. That's good. But he actually says, well, you need to be willing that, you know, if salvation was just out there for everyone that's there, then people wouldn't need to accept him, wouldn't have to repent and turn to him. But actually, it's a present that's there, salvation. And people now need to be like, all right, I need that. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I turn away. It's repentance. Turn away from walking that way. Actually, I'm turning to you. I walk this way. There's always a willingness and a choice that comes with it. So I feel like in this season, something God is encouraging or challenging us with is, are you willing to go deeper with me? That whatever you see with your physical eyes, but are you willing to go deeper to trust me when you don't see it, to trust me when things might look discouraging, or to be willing to change your way of thinking if the word doesn't quite, you know, line up with it. We want to align with the word, not trying to pull the words. No, it sort of means that. No, this is what it means. And that's healthy. Now, here's another picture for you. We all want God to work in our lives. I mean, we want to see him work in power. We want to see, some people like that word. Some people are cautious with it. I understand both. We want to see revival in this nation. We want to see everyone on fire. And it's that word fire, you know. Oh, we want to see God's fire in my life, passion. We think all of those things. And the Bible describes God as fire. You know, that's a picture for him, like in Acts 2, which is Pentecost. We're celebrating that next week. But it says, you know, the Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind, and there's like tongues of fire, was it? There's fire. And in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews chapter 10, God is described as an all-consuming fire. And fire both inflames passion and all of that, but also purifies. So when we pray, oh God, work in my life, work in this land, like bring revival, do something awesome. He's like, ooh, do you know what you're praying? Because you're praying for my fire to come and consume you first. Because otherwise there's revival over there, but not here. But if you want revival here, it means there's going to be fire coming. And yes, it's a fire of passion and you're going to be on fire for God. It's that thing, isn't it? But it's also an all-consuming fire of holiness that's going to put his finger on a few things of, you know, can I burn that up? Are you going to allow me to do that? And so when we pray for God to work and he comes as fire, let's not be surprised if some things come up in that heat that aren't looking so nice, right? And that might be challenges in your family. That might be things in my heart that are coming up where I think, okay, what do I do about that, Lord? That's not holy. That's not good. That's not right. But then I feel like what God wants to say to us is, don't push it down again. Don't think, you know, because, you know, God coming as fire means the heat's going up. Things are happening and it's good. And I hope we all sense something's happening even this morning. But when the heat goes up, things will come up. Don't push them down. Say, okay, Lord, deal with that. I surrender that to you. I surrender the good bits. Yeah, of course. But I surrender the, oh, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this way of thinking or that attitude, or I struggle with this. Lord, I surrender that to you. So how, I mean, we probably all know this, but how is gold refined? Through heat, through fire. And then you take off the, what is it called? Dross. I learned an English word. You take off the dross, you just skim it off, don't you? Like, you take it off. And the more you do that, the more quality that gold's going to become. But are we ready for that? Are we excited for that? Well, maybe the outcome. I want to see the outcome. I'm not done with the process. I'm going through that journey in my own heart. But I think for us, it's embracing the journey, isn't it? And embracing that actually God, your love is also revealed in that process of, oh, wow, God, but you love me like this. Wow, that's awesome. You love me when I don't want to spend time with you. That's awesome. Like we were talking about this week, Andrea and I, while we were still sinners, he died for us. He didn't die for us because we could give him loads of things back that he wants. It's not a business deal. It's a crazy rescue love mission. He says, while you were still far away, you didn't even want to know me. I died for you already to present it so that it's ready for when you say, yeah, Jesus, I want you. Yeah, we can't say, God, come and work in power, but then we want to hide areas of our lives. Because what God is interested in is to bring freedom into every area of our heart, every area. And actually, if we follow the process through, that's where the freedom is. That's where the glory is. And maybe you've read stories of people that God really used. It was at the point where they felt stuck. And Andrew shared it in the prayer meeting this morning a little bit about when all is lost, that's when God meets you. When you don't want to do it anymore, that's where God meets you. You know, Elijah saying, God, take my life. I'm the only one left. He's like, no, there's other ones. I've got a plan. Just come on. Just come back in line. But in Andrew, I think you were sharing about how every story has that point, that low point of everything's bankrupt, no hope, no loss. And then there's a turnaround, isn't there? And sometimes I want the turnaround here. Like, okay, I've done that. Let's move on now. But actually God wants, okay, no, are you actually going to surrender? That word again, going deep, going into the roots, deep with God and deep with one another and allowing that process. In the Old Testament, fire always falls on what? Fire always falls on an altar. And there's another word. What do you put on an altar? And sacrifice. Let's let that sink in a little bit. It's getting better, this message. Look. But it's a beautiful place, but it's a fiery place. So something I've been processing recently, and I've had to put a few things on the altar, which is good. But it's funny, I said to Andrea, I just pray, Lord, let it burn well. You know, it has to be on this altar, but let it burn well. There were a few opportunities I would have had, and I just felt it was not right, something with music and stuff. And I was just like, no, that needs to be on the altar. And I could have just not made that decision and carried on because they were quite favorable. But I just, no, if I'm honest with myself, it doesn't line up with what I feel like God. And I just put it there, and there's some other thing, whatever. But, and even some church things I have, I'm like, no, it's on the altar and it's surrendered and it's in safe hands. But isn't that what God was looking for, even from Abraham? He said, you know, Abraham walked with God, that's good. And he said, what about Isaac? And Abraham said, ouch. No, I don't know what he said, but it says early the next morning, he got up, got the donkey ready. Okay, we're going. Right? I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be obedient to him. And even to the point of putting on an altar, the very thing or the promise of God, the fulfillment, God has promised me descendants. And this is my only son. And I'm going to, my only, you know, son, him and Sarah. And I'm going to put him on the altar and I'm ready to follow through. And then obviously, if you know the story, an angel comes and says, no, stop. I was just going to check your heart. I was like, God, can you not just look at my heart and know it's right? But I wonder if there was a bit of a process in Abraham of like, okay, God, I know you, you've called me, you've made covenant with me, but he still did it. But fire falls on sacrifice. And I don't know about you, but I want to be someone who goes right through. So he's laughing. You join me, Sophie. Go right through. He's like, okay. I don't just get from here to fire. I go from here to the altar of sacrifice. And I don't know what that is for you. You know, you can ask God that yourself. Like, God, what is it that needs to be on the altar in my life? Is it my thinking, my heart, just my whole life? Is it a specific relationship, a person, how I view things? I don't know. But there might be things where God says, can you put that on the altar? But what God is doing in that, he's refining. He's working in the depth. And maybe no one even knows, and maybe no one even sees, but he does. But that's where fire comes. And that's where, you know those stories when God just does things through people, and you're like, oh, wow, how did that? It's not that they're amazing people, it's just that they've been an altar. And so my prayer is for that, for us as a congregation, that we will be an altar, yeah? Where people come and there's sacrifice, but there's fire. So if people come in that don't know God or on the edge or that need a miracle, they come in a place of fire because it's an altar. And with that, our own heart is an altar, our own life is an altar. I'm just going to tell a quick story. Someone I know, sort of a friend of mine, lost his mum recently. It's quite a long journey anyways, but they had to move her out of a room where she was in the house. They moved her downstairs on the sofa. She never wanted to do anything with faith, anything with God. I'd rather go down there, she said. And I was like, okay, that's quite strong language. And I don't know the circumstances exactly. But he said it was interesting when we put it on the sofa where he would sit and have his quiet time for years. Within, I think it was 24 hours, she completely opened up and she was like, oh my goodness, what's happening with me? And, well, you know, you're dying, Mom. And I don't know the exact words that we used, but she gave her life to Jesus. 24 hours later, she went that way. Not that way. Thank you, Lord. She went upwards. Thank you, Jesus. But stubborn for so long. But then she was put somewhere where someone has been praying. And it's like an altar. So your heart, your life, your home is an altar. Whatever else is happening there, but here's an altar. And you know, in the Old Testament, they would build the kind of the pagan nation, so to speak, those that weren't Israel. They would build altars to whatever gods, you know, in high places. Do you remember when you read the Old Testament, it says an altar here, an altar there. And God keeps saying to Israel, when you have that land, tear down those altars, those worldly altars, you know, because it's an entrance for evil, really. And it's often what then tempted them to go away from him. Like, just tear them down. And so many kings you read and judges and kings, like, yeah, they did all the other things right, but they didn't tear down the altars. They didn't tear down. And actually what God calls us is to tear down those, but to build an altar for him in our lives. I'm just going to read one scripture, and Rory can finally put a scripture on the screen from Genesis 8:17. So here's one altar from Noah. Genesis 8:17, there it is. So God said to Noah, come out the ark. So everything has happened, right? The earth was flooded, and that's a story in itself. But they've kind of landed, and God's saying, right, come out of the ark, bring out every kind of living creature, everything that's with you. And he says, multiply on the earth, be fruitful, increase in number. So there's blessing, there's purpose, there's calling. And the next verse, what does he do in response? He builds an altar, and it says, the Lord smelled the... Oh, here we go. Oh, no, there we go. He builds an altar. Yeah, Noah builds an altar and offers sacrifice. And then verse 21, it says, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, and we know this bit, never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Never again will I destroy. It's that he, you know, obviously the flood came over everything. And God says, you know, be fruitful, multiply. And Noah builds an altar of sacrifice and worship. And then God says, oh, I received that. I'm not going to do that again. And just that relationship between God works, God protects, then there's an altar of worship and of sacrifice, and then God speaks again in response. There's a bit of a relationship. But let's go to another altar. Let's go to Genesis 12, back to Abraham. In Genesis 12, verse 7, I don't know if you can find that, Rory, somewhere in the middle. It says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Promise, calling. I'm going to give you this land. So what does Abraham do? He builds an altar to the Lord who had appeared there. He actually builds two altars in the next few verses. And then if we jump to two generations down the line, Genesis 28, that's blue, Rory. Jacob, his grandson, travels the land. And people believe it was either that place or near that place where he goes to rest, has a dream. We're going to read it in a bit. And he encounters God where his granddad built an altar. So Genesis 28 says, I'm just going to read it. It's a bit of a passage, but just take it in. This is a place where someone had taken the land, built an altar, had worshipped, had sacrificed, traveled around, built another altar, sacrificed. And then his grandson, two generations down, this is what happens. So Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, so in Hebrew, that means the reader knows, okay, that specific place I talked about before. He stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. It's a place of encounter. Something happens here. There above that stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. Well, actually, Abraham's his grandfather. Isaac's his father. I am that God. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. So it's promise. It's reminding him of promise, but actually making that personal. I will give it to you. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, the south. all the people on earth, that's a lot of people, will be blessed through you and your offspring. And he's there by himself. Well, I don't know, maybe he had a few people with him, but he's there. He's there. All the people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. And you can hear that for yourself too, God saying that. I am with you and I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back into this land and I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised. And he's the faithful one, right? Now, I love this next bit. And that's something someone shared with us for the whole of us as a church. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even know it. I was not aware of it. Whoa, God is here. I just traveled the land. I thought, okay, let's stop here, move on. A place of encounter. Then it says, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is awesome. This is none other than the house of God, or in the language Bethel, house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Andrea had a word recently. She just felt, as a congregation, we just need to build a gate. What does that mean? You think a gate allows things in, allows things out. And then I read that and I felt in my heart that at least part of that interpretation was, how awesome is this place? I didn't know God was here. What does he say? It's the house of God. It's the gate of heaven. It's like I don't know if you were into video games when you were younger, but it's like a portal to another world, right? It's the let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, but it's that point of exchange that you don't just find when you go down to supermarket. Like, you know, that does one thing. But this place, and actually doesn't just have to be a physical place, and it can be. Obviously, here it was, your house is, amen, this place is. But us as a people, we are that. The house of God, living stones, amen. The gate of heaven. And we believe one thing God wants us to take hold of is that whatever it looks like when we're meeting, whatever it looks like when we're expressing our faith, but we believe in our hearts, we are the gate of heaven. So miracles come down, right? Not because I've seen it, so I believe it. No, I believe it, therefore I see it, right? I believe it first, and I acknowledge it first. I take hold of it first, and then we see it. How awesome is this place? God is here, and I didn't even know it. How cool would it be? This is me dreaming a bit. If we gather wherever we gather, here on the streets and homes, wherever, and people would walk past and like, oh my goodness. You know, it's those things. Come on, we've all heard those stories. And it's like, yeah, but that's not just wishy dreamland. That's like, come on, this happened here. God is here. I didn't even know it. Like, you know, let's say your neighbor is like suddenly getting this sense of, I need to find out about life. And come on, like, what's happening? Well, there's the altar next door. Like, someone has been praying there for years. Come on. Like, I want to believe this. And I want to believe this word where Jacob's like, I didn't even know. And the God of Abraham suddenly became his God. So let me read the next bits. It says in Genesis 28, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar. He poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, meaning house of God, though the city used to be called Luz or something. Then Jacob made a vow. So there's a commitment and a surrender for our context. And a kind of response to God. He says, if you are with me, if you watch over me on the journey I'm taking and you give me food to eat, you give me clothes and so on, and I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. Because he knows about his granddad. My granddad, he had that encounter. Great, great for him. I see the stars. I know, blah. And I've heard the stories. But he meets with God and he says, and then the Lord will be my God. And how often do we hear, you know, like children or grandchildren, yeah, that's fine for you, but all of that. But actually, there's an altar and there's a generational blessing that goes down there. He meets with God and says, then the Lord will be my God. I've set up this pillar and it will be God's house. And of all that I have, I give you a tenth. We're not going to go into tithing now, right? But there's a practical response in a different way. So I just want to encourage us that our hearts, our lives, our homes are altars. And maybe you are that Abraham generation that builds an altar for one or two down the line. Or maybe you've recognized, come on, there's been someone who's been sacrificing. You know, even in this context, Pastor Jonathan and Janet have been sacrificing here for years. We need to find out at some point how many years. Do you know how many years? Many years. A lot of years. This is the official version. come on, but we're not starting from zero then. We're starting on generational sacrifice. And think the church, right? Because actually it's not just us here. The church, and I've heard this recently, I can't remember who it was, has been talking about there have been seeds sown, there have been prayers prayed, there have been times of worship. We know the kind of 24/7 prayer movement. I think they've had their 25th year anniversary recently or something like that. Praying and praying and praying and praying. Their sacrifice. Surely God's going to do something, right? We don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. But actually that's not our shot to call. For us, what we need to do is join in with that, pray, be an altar. So here, let me bring you to the conclusion, because I think you got it. Oh, I had an amen. That's good. That's good. It's a bit of a raw journey, so maybe it's not beautifully packaged and communicated, but just take the heart of it. So I'm like, okay, God, what do I do about it? That's how I always look at those things. And I felt God ask me two questions. Well, where are you at? And what have you got? And then put it on the altar. In other words, someone had, for me specifically, she said, also someone I respect, all of that. She said, oh, okay, I feel like what you're doing with church, you're really trying to move it on and that's good, you know. But what you need to do, and she had that picture of a ship and you're pulling that ship. But in order to fly, you need to let it go. I was like, okay. What does that mean? But it's been following me, that picture. So whenever I've been like, oh, no, I just actually want to be nicer to that person. And no, you need to let it go. You need to let it go for it to fly. So I'm like, okay, God, show me the things where I've been trying to drag things or drag people and maybe not put a line down. We actually got, you know, in humility, God somehow has called us to sometimes say, actually, this is the way we're going to do it. This is the way, walk in it. And in love and in humility, so we're on that journey. But sorry to any of you if we haven't been too clear, because my natural human aspect is, I just want to give you a hug. And I'm still going to do that. But actually, God has called me. Maybe that's something he's then growing in me to say, okay, put an arm around the shoulder, but also say, but this is the way. And I don't want to be someone who lives in compromise. So I want to encourage. I can't make you, and I'm not going to. And I don't think it's my place. But I just need to say, this is the way. And some bits of the way, I don't know. And this is something I come to in a moment, just a scripture from Jesus. He didn't tell the disciples everything he was going to do. He just said, come. Okay. Anyway, so what we bring, what we have, we bring. And are we serious about it? Okay, then to the light blue scriptures, Robbie, that's my third part, the end. In the first of those, which one's the first? So Joshua goes through the camp. This is the bit after he said, God said, be strong, be courageous, be strong. Don't be afraid. And I love that bit. And we love that bit. Come on, God's going to do something. And he says, go through the camp, tell the people. Here's a word. Let me say this. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Can you hear that with your spirit? I think that's what God's saying to us. Get ready. For what? Well, I don't know, but he's going to do something. But get ready, get ready. Just on that. I think sometimes we want God to give us the plan, and I want to give him my plan, but also felt him challenge me, but trust the architect, trust the builder. Lean on him, not just, oh, you've given me something, I can get on and do it. No, no, no. God, I'm going to keep leaning into you, so get ready. What does get ready mean? Well, in the next two chapters down the line, when they're actually going to cross the Jordan and take the land, he says this, Joshua 3 verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself. That's a word we're going to come to in a minute and then take communion. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So this is the bit where I'm just going to speak it even if I don't see it. But consecrate yourself. Tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So get ready. So get ready. So get ready. And we speak it into our hearts, into our congregation. Get ready. We speak it into Worthing. Get ready. We speak it into Storrington, Rustling, Littlehampton. We speak it into this area. Someone said, he just made this comment the other day, oh yeah, you're a lookout post in the South Coast, aren't you? I was like, get ready. I can't see it with my physical eyes, but in my heart I'm going to see it. I'm going to reach for it. Get ready. Get ready. It's not our doing, it's his doing, but we need to yield. But the word consecrate, just a few bits that we actually know how to respond. Consecrate is give yourself to God, surrender, yield, pour yourself on him. Recognize you're set apart as holy. Actually, in the Old Testament, for someone, something to be, or someone or something to be consecrated was to recognize this
thing, item, or person is set apart for a holy purpose. It's sacred. It's set apart for worship or service. In other words, it's like a sacrifice. And they will sacrifice with holiness. And that was true for the Levites in the Old Testament. But now we are the royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a special people. You're special. In a good way, to declare his praise. So it's for all of us to recognize, actually, I'm set apart. Do I want that? Am I serious about that? It's just that, throwing that verse out quickly, I mentioned earlier. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus says to them, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They didn't fully know what that meant. He didn't explain to them he was going to send out 72 and this, that, and the other. He didn't explain to them the details of Pentecost. They still said, when he was going to just ascend to heaven, he said, they said to him, are you now going to take over the kingdom? He's like, no, don't worry about it. But you'll receive power. You'll be my witnesses. Go and do the thing I've actually called you to do. In Matthew 16 then, and this is how it links to the altar, Jesus said to his disciples, let's breathe before I read it. Whoever wants to be my disciple, a follower of mine, who wants to, you know, walk with me, be like me, must deny themselves, take up their cross. That's why the cross is here as well. Follow me. For whoever wants to save their life, hold on to it. You know that picture of the ship someone had for me? Whoever wants to hold on to what it is. And for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But that doesn't end there. Thank you, Lord. But whoever loses their life for me, he will find it. So actually the place where we have to, no, I don't want to, and then we let it go, is actually the place where we flourish in our own lives, in our own hearts as a church. Because then it's in his hands. Then you'll find true life. Not when you try and save your life, but whoever loses their life for my sake, and whatever that means, you'll find real life. You'll find eternal life. So get ready. Just let that ring in your heart. A posture before God. What does that mean to get ready? I believe it's a posture before God. It's commitment and consecration. And it's letting go in order to take hold of what he has. So maybe close your eyes. I've said many words. And just breathe. And just reflect for a moment. What is the thing that stands out to me? Or maybe there's a thing where it's like, oh God, if you were going to ask me to put something on the altar, it's probably that. Or if there's a way I've been maybe walking on the edge and in compromise, it's probably that. And the only thing I can do is present to you and encourage you to just say, God, take it. I want to walk with you. I surrender. I want to be willing. Help me to be willing. If that's the prayer you need to pray. Lord, I want to thank you that as we just play this track now in the background and respond for a couple more minutes, I think 3, 4, 5 minutes, I don't know how long the track is, but Lord, I thank you that you want to go deep in our hearts. And even beyond this morning, Lord, as we go about our weeks and whatever, Lord, that you would just highlight things and say, come closer to me here. Come closer to me here. Because I want to do amazing things, but it takes an altar first. For the fire to fall, there needs to be sacrifice, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it. Lord, I want to thank you for your grace to respond to what I've shared this morning, for my own heart, for us as a people. And as Rory just hits that track in a minute, as we play that song, which is about kind of surrender, but then new flames, new fire, just feel free. Whenever you're ready, just go and grab communion. It's at the front by the cross. And you might want to take that in your seat. You might want to just stay by the cross. And I'm going to move this thing out of the way here. Just to respond for those few minutes before we finish this meeting kind of thing. But Lord, I thank you that you draw us near to yourself with cords of loving kindness and compassion. That it's always good what you have for us. You always lead us into goodness. Even if we need to embrace the process, which is slightly uncomfortable at times. But actually, what you had for Abraham when he put Isaac on the altar, that wasn't the end. Actually, it was throwing him forward into all that God had for him. But I thank you for that for us. Thank you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.